This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, I'm Emma Choi and welcome to Everyone and Their Mom, a weekly show from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This week, we're talking about graduation with Wait Wait panelist, comedian, and someone whose fan base should really call themselves the Conda Boo Boos. It's Hari Kondabolu. Hi, Hari.
Hey, how are you, Emma?
Hari, it's graduation season, right? So it's the beautiful time of year where you get to find out how many of your high school bullies are going to nursing school. And the answer is all of them, Hari. All of them are going to nursing school.
Did you have a high school bully that went to nursing school, Emma?
So many of them, Hari.
That's so strange.
You know what? Nursing school or not, the U.S. has a major cap and gown shortage. And of course, you know, supply chain issues are to blame. Shipments are being held up at every stage of the process. And high schools and universities all over America are being affected. And especially regional theater productions of High School Musical 3, you know, which, come on, America, we need that last scene for closure. And personally, I think they should ditch the cap and gown thing entirely and just make everyone wear white leggings and sport bras. You know, really humble them before celebrating them.
I mean, why not break tradition? Like, why is that tradition so important that you have to wear a cap and gown?
And I'm going to be honest, I don't think the cap and gown is that flattering for any body type.
No, it's basically a muumuu, and the hat is just, what the hell is that hat?
The hat looks like someone played a prank on a graduate. They're like, put this board on your head, you'll look smart.
My best friend really didn't want to wear a cap and gown. He's like, that's not how I want to graduate. That's not like how I want to look when I graduate. I'm like, what? He just wanted to wear his regular clothes. And part of me respected it. Like, okay, you're bucking tradition. The other part of me is like, what stance are you taking, man? What is the point of this?
What is this for?
What is the point of you not? Is it just to not wear? And what do you mean this is not how you? Who imagines graduation without a cap and gown?
I know. You know what I personally love about graduation speeches is that, like, it's kind of like super equalizing because, like, essentially you're just asking someone really accomplished to do like a 20 minutes of stand-up comedy in front of thousands of people, you know? Like, my school asked Mother Teresa to come like 10 years ago, and she basically, they were essentially making her do like a TED talk with a tight five inside of it.
Was she alive 10 years ago?
20 years ago? I don't know what time is, Hari.
Well, why would you tell Mother Teresa to do anything? It's like, you can't be like, all right, Mother Teresa, keep it at a tight 20. All right, Malala, yeah. It's 15 minutes. That's it. I know what your story is. I know what you went through, but this is Harvard. 15 minutes or someone else is getting you off the stage. Like, you can't tell people anything.
And after you is going to be three white men who've all committed terrible atrocities against the environment.
Right, exactly.
Now go, go, go.
After it makes no sense. It's like Malala, then Henry Kissinger. Like, what?
Can you inspire our listeners right now with a little commencement speech of our own?
Sure. This goes out to all the kids graduating high school and college who might be listening to this. I want you to know that the future looks bleak. And I know that between global warming, global pandemic, the possibility of nuclear war, it almost feels like what you've done here is a waste. That perhaps if you're graduating from college, that the money you've spent is absolutely worthless. And this could have been time spent preparing for the apocalypse to come. But I want you to know that there's something good that comes with the end. And that is, if the world does end, you will not have to pay back your loans.
Oh, Hari, I'm physically weeping right now. Oh my God, I'm overtaken. That was amazing. After hearing that speech that he made up on the spot, we wondered if Hari should go into speech writing full time. We wanted to talk to someone who does it for a living. So just to start off, will you introduce yourself to us?
Sure, my name is Sarita Perry, and I am a speechwriter, formerly for President Obama.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, this is maybe a weird question, but like when you're writing for Obama, do you like do an impression of him to like get into his voice? Like, how do you get into his voice?
Yeah, there's an element of that. So The idea of getting someone's voice is not really about how they talk. It's actually about how they think. Mm. And so when I started working for President Obama, the way, you know, it's not like he's got a ton of time to hang out with his speechwriters, you know.
Yeah.
We're not like shooting the breeze with Barack Obama. So the way I kind of did that was that I sort of absorbed everything that he wrote, said, you know, I was watching, you know, all the late night interviews with Jimmy Fallon. Like I was just inhabiting the mind and soul of Barack Obama, which is exactly as creepy as it sounds, but sort of like the best way to do it.
Yeah. That's so funny. Was there a part when you started dreaming as President Obama?
I didn't like have dreams that I was him, but I did every morning sort of wake up and look at the news, and whatever the news was, I never thought, what does Sarada think about that? Uh-huh. I thought, what would Barack Obama think about that?
Wow.
I just sort of, you kind of like reorient your entire worldview to be through his lens in a way.
Yeah. It's like method speech writing. You're always in character.
I like that. Method speech writing.
I love, yeah. I mean, speaking of his voice, I feel like Obama had a really has a really memorable way of talking. Like he had a little bit of dad humor. Were you like responsible for that? Or like, were you like tuning in to like finding the right places to make a joke?
We definitely did our best to insert dad jokes. I'm actually pretty good at dad jokes. And so, and like, I figured out kind of his, you know, his kind of brand of that particular humor. And he often just ad-libbed it, honestly. You know, he'd kind of read the room and see something funny and then just sort of react.
Okay, improv. Yeah, that's great. Right,
exactly.
Well, this week we're talking a lot about graduation since it's graduation season, and specifically about graduation speeches, which is why we wanted to talk to you. Have you ever written a graduation speech before?
So many.
Really?
They are not my favorite speech to write.
Oh,
but
my
yes,
gosh.
I've read many.
Why aren't they your favorite speech to write?
So many reasons, Emma. So one is that a commencement speech is a speech about anything.
Yeah.
There is no topic. There is no argument to be made. Speakers often make it a speech about everything, which then means it's a speech about nothing. And I think that's just a really hard place to be. And it can be hard to persuade speakers that they don't need to dole out every single piece of life advice they've ever received or every lesson that they derived from their climb up the, you know, tech startup ladder or whatever the hell they did.
Yeah.
I think it can be challenging to help people really stick to a plan.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of people, like, when they don't know what they're doing, just fall into a bunch of cliches.
Yes. I feel like a lot of speakers want to just say the thing that will make them sound the smartest or the funniest. What they need to do is say the thing that is the truest to them, mm-hmm. right? What's the one thing you can say to these people?
So it sounds like your job is inspiring people to inspire others. Do you have to give yourself an inspiring speech to give other people inspiring advice for so they can give other people inspiring advice too?
The circle of inspiration.
Yeah.
I will say, I think that whenever I'm working on a commencement speech, mm-hmm. The most inspiring sort of step in my work is to call up the university or college, whatever it is, and get information about students. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll even talk to students. That is always a really great experience.
I mean, I'm a college student. What would you like ask me if you were trying to get a like idea of what I wanted?
Yeah. So, depending on what I was going to you for, it might just be sort of the basics. So, you know, tell me, you know, where do you guys hang out on a Saturday night? You know, mm-hmm. who is the toughest professor? Who's the professor that everybody wants to get into that class? All the sort of the color that will inform, especially the beginning of the speech.
Yeah.
So that when the speaker starts, they're kind of, issuing what we call how to hells, as in how the hell did he know that?
Yeah. Well, okay, so we have a draft of a commencement speech our friend Hari came up with. It's just off the dome, like it's kind of a first draft, but we were wondering if, since you're professional, can you give him some notes on it?
All right.
Okay, cool. I'll read it to you. So feel free to stop me if you like see something that you want to workshop or praise or something that needs work, okay?
Okay, okay.
I want you to know that the future looks bleak, and I know that between global warming, a global pandemic, and the possibility of nuclear war, it almost feels like what you've done here is a waste. How are we doing so far?
And now let's just all go throw ourselves into the Pacific Ocean. So,
okay. You're not going to like this next part then, okay? So the next part goes that perhaps if you're graduating from college, that the money you spent is absolutely worthless. And this could have been the time spent preparing for the apocalypse to come. What do you think about that apocalypse reference?
Oh, so I actually think that then whatever comes next is actually important. So what comes next?
Okay, so what comes next is, but I want you to know that there's something good that comes with the end. And that is, if the world does end, you will not have to pay back your loans. Where is he supposed to go next?
He's got to go somewhere else. Some version of, but seriously, folks, like for all of this, mm-hmm. for all of these really hard challenges, there is no generation better positioned to try to fix this disaster mm-hmm. than you all, than the one that's in college right now. And, you know, as President Obama always said, you're not encumbered by these old ideas. And so every generation before us has at least tried, and that is kind of your inheritance. You got to pick up the baton and keep going.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Graduation speeches are just like always the same generic idea, right? Have you ever done one before? Have you ever had to give one?
I gave one at my high school, Townsend Harris High School in Flushing, Queens. And I have been told that it was one of the best speeches they have ever had.
Oh, okay, Bragg. That's awesome. Can you give us a taste? What did you say?
God, what did I say? I said something about how usually they get people who are aspirational. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm a stand-up comic, so if any of you turned into this, your parents would see your life as a complete failure.
Can you introduce yourself to us?
Yeah, so I'm John, or Jonathan Apana. Queens born and raised. Let's go, Mets.
Hell yeah. And you were in the graduating class of 2012 at Townsend Harris High School, where Hari gave the commencement speech, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I had like really great view because I was one of the band geeks. So I was like, I was in the pit. And it didn't really sink in, I guess, until I started hearing like all the speeches that I was like, oh man, like high school's over.
Yeah, I mean, here's our $1 million question. Do you remember anything from Hari's speech?
Yeah. So I remember when they told us that, first of all, this brown guy was going to be giving a speech, not a doctor, not a banker, you know, not some politician, but a comedian. And I was like, oh, that's like really interesting. Okay. And then out walks this guy with like curly, shaggy hair, you know, glasses.
You can imagine how weird this is. I graduated 12 years ago and I'm speaking to you right now. This is very bizarre.
And I'll never forget, but like the gown that they gave him was clearly like either it was missized or they just kind of threw it on him before he ran in. It was like half off his shoulder. He just looked pretty disheveled. I don't know what was going on that morning. And then he gave this like really like endearing speech about how, you know, once you go off to college, you know, you kind of are, as a person who lives in New York, who kind of grew up in New York, you know, you're like that diversity that everybody talks about.
I couldn't know what it meant. And I kept hearing the word diversity when I went to school in Maine, and how there would be a surge of diversity when I got to campus. And I realized I was the surge they were talking about.
And like when you grow up and live here, you don't really realize that. Because, like, you know, everyone around you, you know, it's like the person down the block from you is from another country. And you're like, oh, yeah. You know, that's just kind of like Queens.
This is incredible. They don't have this. They have to figure this out. They have to take trainings. This is ridiculous what we have.
And something else that was really impactful was I remember him saying, you know, he's kind of going through like notable alum that went to Townsend Harris, like Jonas Salk, who was like responsible for like the polio vaccine, you know, Ira Gershwin, who's like the brother, the Gershwin brothers, who wrote a lot of musicals. And then he was just like, and then there's me. I'm the most famous alum since like the 80s.
You're a stand-up comedian is your most famous alum since 1984. Something is wrong.
I guess, you know, I took it as kind of a challenge, you know. But it was also kind of humbling and sweet.
Most of you don't even know who I am. That is weird. Some of you are looking at me on your phones right now. Who is this? Why is he relevant to me right now?
I don't know, like, don't rest on the laurels of everybody who came before, you know, which meant a lot to me. And like I said, I still remember it.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It sounds like his speech actually, like, inspired you.
It did, yeah, it definitely did. Just to know that, like, someone who was in my place, you know, whatever, like a decade ago, was kind of having, like, the same thoughts, you know, like, once I graduate, you know, who am I going to be? You know, who are other people going to see me as? You know, I was like one of those kids who had like an identity crisis as a teen. Wasn't really connected to like my culture and my background. How I kind of grew out of that was from like Harry's speech, where it was like, you know, kind of like get connected to who you are, kind of understand how much that actually means, and like how much that'll actually make you like feel better about yourself. I mean, a much more happier person when you know like who you are and where you came from.
Thank you very much, Tom Sowers Class.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Stearns and Foster. To Stearns and Foster, your comfort is their everything. So they've made a mattress that's irresistible inside and out. Every Stearns and Foster mattress is handcrafted. Every stitch, every layer uses the finest materials like indulgent memory foam and ultra-conforming IntelliCoils for the coziness you want with the support you need. Timeless quality for your most comfortable sleep. Stearns and Foster, what comfort should be. More at stearnsandfoster.com.
Here's my favorite part of the podcast, the credits. This show was brought to you by Wait Wait Don't Tell Me. This episode was produced by Haley Fager, Zola Ray, and Nancy Seychow, with help from Lillian King, Lillian's mom, Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis, and the person who invented Trader Joe's Mochi Puffs. Thank you, person. Our supervising producer is Jennifer Mills, and our 2018 Fergie National Anthem is Mike Danforth. Once again, Lorna White, thank you for helping us with our sound. You're the best. Thank you to Jonathan Apana for your inspiring words about Hari's inspiring words. And Sarah DePerry, thank you for being the most inspirational inspirer I have ever met.
Oh my gosh, girl, no.
Thank you to my co-host, comedian, Wait Wait panelist, and awesome dad, Hari Kondabolu.
That is very specific, Emma.
You can see Hari in person at the Den Theater in Chicago on June 23rd through 25th, and at the Cedar in Minneapolis on June 18th. Find tickets on his website at harikondabolu.com. That's HARIKONDABOLU.com. I'm Emma Choi, and you can find me at WaitWaitNPR and putting down my scissors slowly as I talk myself out of getting bangs. Okay, I'm done. This is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message comes from Jackson. Seek clarity in retirement planning at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Inc., Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.